Right. Okay, so count down 10 minutes from 9 minutes. Okay, my name is Marie Penman and I'm a volunteer with Refuge Fife, an organisation based in Florida to help refugees. Okay, so we set up last September in Kikori, just over a year ago, and I think it was a response, a joint response to the photo that was in the newspapers at the time of the little boy who was washed up on the beach in Turkey. And I think that kind of shocked a lot of people into realising that the refugee situation was a lot worse than people maybe expected. And although it sounds a bit grim to say it, it maybe took that image of a three-year-old body lying on the beach to force people into action. And so a few people kind of got together just via email just to discuss what we could do, and we decided to form this group, which we called Refuge Fife. And what we try and do is we raise funds to help refugees, both overseas and those based in Fife, but we also try to raise awareness about refugees and maybe educate people locally so that they don't believe all the bad press that we see in the right-wing media at the moment. Yeah, so in Fife we have a total of 13 families. I think the UK as a whole has just passed the 2,500 mark of refugees brought in, compared to Germany, which has taken over 800,000. Lebanon's got 1.1 million. It's a tiny, tiny fraction of the amount. And yet, people in this country still believe these old stories about refugees swarming into the country and taking our council housing, stealing our jobs, claiming our benefits. Nothing could be further from the truth. I mean, 13 families for an area the size of Fife is absolutely nothing. And what they actually get, the funding, it comes from the United Nations, High Commission for Refugees. It's not the council that funds it, it's not us that funds it, it's not taxpayers' money. I mean, this is money that's set aside for refugees, people who are fleeing a war zone, and it's funded by the United Nations funding. And so they get set up over here, and they get the bare minimum to live on, so they get given somewhere to live, which is paid for by, you know, the United Nations. They get allocated a doctor, a medical practice. If they have children, they're allocated a school. And that's pretty much it. They're unsupported, they're isolated. Most of them are traumatised after coming out of a war zone. I think nearly all the families in Fife have actually suffered a bereavement of an immediate family member in the war. One of the reasons that they're brought out is to try and get them away from that situation. And they find it hard. I mean, the refugees that are in Fife, they're all nice people. You know, most of them have got young children. They're so grateful to be here. But what a struggle for them. I mean, imagine if you or me went away overseas to a country we'd never been to before, didn't speak the language, didn't understand the culture. It's a huge shock, and you add that to the fact that they're actually coming out of a war zone where their own homes have been bombed into nothing, where family members have died. It's a huge lot to take in, and yet they come over here and get treated like dirt. They get treated badly by people. And that just, I can't sit by and watch that happen. I don't think anybody decent should let that happen. So in Refuge Fife, the money that we raise, we work out about 80% we go overseas with. We take it out for volunteers to go and work in the camps in Cali and in Greece. 20% we keep back here in Fife, and we support the families in Fife, give them money to help for food shopping, give them clothes, things like that. Lorna, you spoke to us before, I think. Okay, so what we were able to do, we had a major fundraiser in April this year where we raised several thousand pounds. People were really generous, and we decided to try and sort of make an impact with that. So we've been working with a group in Edinburgh called REACT, which is Refugee Action, and they've got a lot more people on board there. They've got a lot more funding than us. They're very well organised. So what we decided to do was to contribute to buying a van with REACT in Edinburgh. We split the cost of it. And they are now basically running shuttle runs back and forward to Europe with this van, taking everything that's needed. We've got contacts in the camps in Greece, we've got contacts in Lebanon, in Cali, and they tell us week by week what's needed. So one week it might be they've run out of toilets, which was the case in Lebanon 2 weeks ago. The temperatures are now dropping, so they've not got enough winter clothes. They don't have any nappies for babies. They've run out of dried food. And so they update us. And so the van left, what day today? Tuesday. The van left on Friday last week, going to Thessalonica, because there's a lot of refugees arriving in Thessalonica, and it's freezing, and they're sleeping in the streets, so we took camping equipment and things over. This Saturday is donation day. The stuff that we collect there is going to go back to Greece, and so we're looking for winter clothes, anything that's warm, jackets, fleeces, and this is for men, women and children. You know, don't believe the lie that's in the media, that it's all young single men that are coming over, i.e. potential terrorists. 51% of refugees are family members. There's a lot of young children. There are a lot of unaccompanied children. I mean, in Cali alone, there are still 1,000 unaccompanied minors there. So we're looking for baby clothes, children's clothes, women's clothes. The only thing we'd say is, you know, a bit of common sense, then make sure the clothes are warm. They're not looking for strappy evening gowns for ladies. They're not looking for high heels. These aren't appropriate for where they're living. Anything that's going to keep them dry and warm. We're looking for any basic camping equipment, any two-man tents that aren't being used. We're also looking for toiletries. Toiletries is a big thing because often these refugee camps will have like two water pipes for people to use for personal hygiene amongst 1,000 people. It's a horrible situation for them to be in. They don't want to be living like that. They don't want to be living, you know, not being able to wash themselves. So baby wipes are a big thing. You know, packs of baby wipes so that they can use to wash themselves. Toothpaste, soap, shampoo, toothbrushes, all of these things. A lot of the refugees that have come over, you know, just carrying a bag on their back. They've used up all the supplies that they left home with. Some of them, just the boats have sunk in the Mediterranean, have lost everything anyway. So we're just trying to sustain them, to keep them going. We've lobbied the Scottish Government. The Green Party has been very supportive. The fact is, it's a reserved issue. It's not devolved. It's international, it's foreign policy, so it comes from Westminster. And the only person who can change the amount of refugees that we take in is the Prime Minister, the party in government, which is the Conservative Party. They said they're going to take 20,000 over 5 years. In the first year, they've taken 2,500, not very much at all. I would like to see them take more. I don't buy into this theory that, you know, Britain is full up, you know, close the doors, close the borders. That's not right. It's a war zone we're talking about. It's people fleeing, the refugees, and, you know, I shudder to think, you know, going back in time, back into the 30s and 40s, if people had turned their back on refugees fleeing the Second World War, you know, what would that make us? And I always think, you know, if you look back in history to this time, you know, are you going to be proud of the way you behave towards these refugees? Is this government going to hold its head up and say, yeah, we did what we could? I don't think they're doing enough. I don't think they're doing nearly enough. And I'd like to see us, you know, extend our limits and taking more than we're already taking. Okay.